I'm going to read Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and led him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately rose up before them, and took up that whereof he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Well, may God help us to see the truth of this passage even this afternoon. You may be seated. It goes without saying, although I'm going to say it anyway, because what I'm about to say correctly describes the verses I have reached in Luke chapter 5. But it is a saying that if you believe and want to grow in your understanding and praise of this lost world's one and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which I hope you do, you'll be blessed by seeing it. In radical contrast to a group of men in the verses I have reached in Luke chapter 5. But brethren, friends, the days that the Lord Jesus Christ walked on this sin-cursed and dying earth, those days were absolutely amazing days. They were absolutely amazing days, as one should expect when God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who has the ability to save and heal dying men of their greatest problem, their sinfulness, before an almighty and holy God, walked on this earth. It is a wonder that the days that Jesus walked on this earth were able to contain all that he did and all that he said. Even as John would say about the Lord's time on this dying earth from John 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And what a sign of the true spiritual blindness that you were saved out of, believer. Those who confess and believe that Jesus is the Christ of God, the only one that you want to stand for you and before God, and the only one you need to stand for you before the thrice holy and living God. But what a sign, what a sign of the true spiritual blindness upon the lost souls of how many in the world today who are fixated on everything and anything else, but not the true biblical gospels that reveal what took place in space-time history when the sinless Son of God walked on this earth. For Luke shows you these amazing days, or he shows you how these were amazing days by how he introduces this passage. For many, a well-known passage. This passage of Jesus healing the paralytic to show that he had the power to do the greater. Forgive him and all who look to him alone to forgive us of our sins. sin, that almost non-existent word in the world today, and in how many churches today. Sin, the thing that Jesus came into this world to save his sinful people from. Truth that Luke the physician wants you to see by recording this event in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. After he had withdrawn himself into the wilderness to pray. But why do I say that these were amazing days? Simply because Luke does not tell you what day this miracle and important teaching as to its meaning took place. Notice what he says. And it came to pass on a certain day. It came to pass on a certain day. What day? What day was it? Luke doesn't tell you. But all types and classes of people from all over Israel were taking the time necessary to be where Jesus was teaching. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. But not only all these Pharisees and doctors, but as Luke records, there were so many wanting to hear Jesus that those bringing the paralytic to Jesus had to do some remodeling on the home he was teaching in to get him where he wanted to be. He wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. Think of it. How many took time off work to be part of this crowd of people? I won't be in today, boss. I have to hear Jesus. Think of the number of men who would gather to hear Jesus as recorded in all four biblical gospels, known as the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men, not including women and children. How many were actually there? And then he taught and fed miraculously another group of men, totaling 4,000. If I dare put it this way, why are so many stores closed? Not because of tyrannical mandates, but because people are flooding to hear Jesus. Amazing days. Amazing days. Now, I'm not saying, as the text will clearly show you, that all those who were there because they wanted to hear and believe what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching, revealing, and declaring about himself. But friends, if ever you wanted evidence of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in reviving mercies on an individual person or on a greater number of people, I ask you, who would people want to be hearing the truth about, regardless of the day of the week? And the changes in their schedules that they would willingly make. The Lord Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer says, revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare, and show it by people wanting to hear truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and believe it. Now, I'm not saying that all the multitude in and around this about to be remodeled home were there because they wanted to hear and believe what Jesus taught and did. You know, there was a group that didn't. But friends, if ever there was a time to give the Lord no rest for true reviving mercies, it is today. When apart from a small believing remnant in all the gospel preaching and believing churches in America and the world, the attitude towards the glorious things of Christ, his person, his works, his words, his greatest work of saving his people from their sins through his finished work on his cross. Friends, let's be honest. The prevailing attitude in the world today towards the things of Christ is one of apathy and indifference. Believer, are you withdrawing yourself to pray that the Lord would remove this demonic spirit of apathy and indifference to truth about the Lord Jesus Christ that is seen in America today? Oh Lord, hear our prayer for souls wanting to hear the truths about the Lord Jesus Christ, even if those opposing the glorious truths about the Christ are stirred up as well, for then it would be evidence of the presence and power of the Lord to save, as was taking place in first century Judea. Because don't miss something. Don't miss something I think I missed until preparing this message. Although since I forget more things than I remember, maybe I have seen it before. But notice how dangerous getting annoyed and offended at anything Jesus either said or did is. Because who does Luke record were offended at Jesus for telling the paralytic that his sins had been forgiven? The scribes and the Pharisees. And how many would be offended today at Jesus mentioning the subject of sin in the presence of a paralytic? Even telling someone that only he can save them from their sins. But what does Luke say at the end of verse 17? And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Jesus had the power to heal these Pharisees and doctors, but as the scriptures reveal, not many were. The sobering blindness of those who do not want to hear or believe what Jesus declares about himself. He has the power to heal you of something no one else can, including yourself, your sinfulness. Friends, how many of these Pharisees and doctors of the law, if they were still alive to read this statement by Luke, would have been offended by it? And the power of the Lord was present to heal them, the Pharisees and the doctors who prided themselves in their religious pedigree and their knowledge. How many have heard, are hearing, and may yet hear the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and refuse to see and believe that he is the only one who can heal them of their greatest affliction, their sinfulness? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But what does Luke write later in Luke 7:30? But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. That is John the Baptist. Being baptized by John, confessing that I am a sinner, seeking the power of Jesus to heal from me from my many sins. Heal me from my many sins? Don't you realize that I'm a scribe? Don't you realize that I'm a Pharisee? Don't you realize that I'm a teacher of the law? Don't you realize that I'm a seminary professor? Don't you realize that I'm a preacher? Friends, how many teachers, even Bible college and seminary teachers, do not think they need to be healed of their sins like this paralytic? And his friends knew they needed to be. For some are so smart, they have explained sin right out of existence. But what offended these Pharisees and doctors? Not that this man and his friends had remodeled somebody's home, but they were offended because of what Jesus said to the paralytic because of the faith of him and his friends, seeking out Jesus for what they knew he alone could give. Why do I say faith of him and the paralytic's friends? Because notice, Luke does not record in verse 20. This is not what Luke says. And when he saw his faith, he said unto him. That's not what he says. But when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Believer, bring by faith all those you know and love who need the healing touch of Jesus to cleanse them and to save them from their sins before Jesus in prayer. But realize as you do, unless they see their need of the healing touch of Jesus like this paralytic did, they will not be thinking it is something you need to do for them. And they won't be thanking you unless they are saved for what I am sure this paralytic did. Praise the Lord for his healing. And think of it, who knows? Who knows how difficult it was for these believers to get through the crowd? To get through the crowd and up onto the roof to lay their believing paralytic friend before the Lord. But they took the effort. They took the effort. They took the time. Don't let the world, the flesh, or the devil prevent you from continuing to bring your unbelieving loved ones before the Lord in prayer. Lord, if you are willing, you can make them clean. They may have shut you out and get angry like these Pharisees and lawyers at hearing Jesus tell this paralytic that his sins were forgiven. But don't let their ignorance of their true condition and the truth that their sinfulness is their greatest problem prevent you from continuing to bring them before the Lord. Even as these men did with this believing paralytic. Friends, when you realize your impotence against sin, your powerlessness against sin, as powerless as this paralytic was in healing his paralyzed body, you will not be offended at what Jesus told this paralyzed man. You will be praising and thanking him for it. For dare I say that the majority of lost, unbelieving sinners in the world today are in a worse condition than these unbelieving scribes and Pharisees who thought that Jesus was blaspheming to say what he correctly said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Why do I say worse condition? Two reasons. One I've already briefly mentioned. How many today believe? How many today even believe the truth that man is born dead in trespasses and sins? How many? Not many. If there is one sin today, it is believing that man is a lost sinner. And that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save if he is pleased to do so, regardless of who that person is. These blaspheming scribes and Pharisees, because friends, it wasn't Jesus who was blaspheming, perish the thought, it was these scribes and Pharisees accusing Jesus of saying something that was false. But notice, at least they acknowledged the reality of God and that he alone can forgive a man of his many sins. But their religious unbelief blinded them to the truth of who was in their midst, God incarnate, the one who saves his people from their sins. Instead of seeing their absolute need of the forgiveness of God for their many sins, as the paralytic and his friends did, they had surrounded themselves with false teachings and practices, thinking that these things made them right with God. Like the false Christians that flooded into the churches after Constantine legalized the church and approved of all the pagan practices that flooded into the churches as ways of acceptance with God rather than the finished work of Christ alone. They are like Paul's unbelieving Jewish brethren who saw the law as a means to establish their own righteousness before God rather than seeing it as a thing that showed them their absolute need of the righteousness that the Lord alone can provide, as seen by his healing this paralytic. Oh, the wonder and mystery of faith. Paralyzed, but coming to Christ. Paralyzed, but coming to Christ, knowing he is the only one willing and able to heal him. But a second reason that even these blaspheming scribes and Pharisees were not as worse as lost, unbelieving sinners today is how many people today, how many people today would take offense to have the subject of their sinfulness brought up during their physical trials and illnesses? Our physical trials and difficulties have been, are being, and will be healed by medical science. Men die because man hasn't figured out how to prolong life yet. Don't bring up the subject of sin as the reason for death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many want to hear that truth today? Friends, these blaspheming scribes and Pharisees at least acknowledged the reality of man's sinfulness and the fact that only God can forgive sins. But how many? Sadly, in hospitals and in nursing homes today, don't want to hear the truth of why there is physical illness. They don't want to hear the truth of why there is disease. They don't want to hear the truth of why there is death brought up and mentioned. Oh, believer, if ever there was a time to pray for the Lord to have mercy on man, it is today when they display their annoyance at anyone daring to bring up the subject of sin in the face of physical illness and death. Something only Jesus has the power to save them from. For what does Luke record to show you this? Luke records Jesus not only knowing the blasphemous thoughts of these scribes and Pharisees, but Jesus goes from the lesser to the greater, despite the ignorance and annoyance of how many today, of Jesus daring to introduce the subject of sin where physical illness and disability is present. Verses 21 to 25, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins," he said unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house." And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that there whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Friends, the lusting after an unnecessary and dangerous vaccine that how many are waiting for is reflective of a greater problem. A greater problem than any physical illness or disability. The greater problem is that sinner man is treating physical illness, physical disease, and physical death as only a physical problem. That given enough time and energy, we'll solve it on our own. For as helpful as medical science is in all its forms, not just the ones approved by the pharmaceutical cartel, but as helpful as medical science is to temporarily help physically dying man, medical science does not get to the root of the problem. It even blatantly denies it and rejects it. Why will you and I all wear out and die before the return of the Lord? Because we all come into this world fallen in Adam and not in Christ. The reason all of us die physically before the return of Christ is not because medical scientific man hasn't figured out how to prevent death. Friends, he never will. We die because we have all inherited the fallen, death-cursed nature of our natural father, Adam, something only the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, can solve and does solve for all those believing on him alone to solve it. This is why even children in the womb die through miscarriage, and not the heinous sin of abortion, which is a glaring testimony to the sinfulness of man that only the Lord can save anyone from. Jesus did the lesser, healing this man of his physical paralysis to show you that he has the power to heal all who come to him for healing of the root cause of all our physical problems, including death, our sinfulness. Thinking that medical science will eventually be able to solve our ultimate physical problem, death, is turning medical science into a new Tower of Babel. That only the physical death of such devil-deceived people will reveal the folly of trusting man and not God. Jeremiah 17:5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." And the thing over the last 8 months and counting that has been so disturbing and troubling is the number of churches that have not testified to this truth. What truth? What truth? That in the face of physical illness, disease, and death, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer. For what happened after Jesus healed the paralytic, showing that he has power to deliver illness afflicted dying man from the reason he has to get old and die. And friends, you have to get old and die because you're a sinner that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save. What was the response of those who correctly saw what Jesus did for this healed paralytic? Verse 26, and they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. The word strange does not mean seeing a two-headed cat. It is a compound word from which we get the English word paradox. They were not seeing a paradox. Para, doxa, para, something coming along, something else. Doxa, glory. Jesus was revealing his glory and his power to do what no one else can do. Save a person from the reason they have to die, their sinfulness. We have seen incredible, wonderful, amazing, remarkable things today. Friends, if a fellowship of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ has seen the wonderful, glorious, and awesome thing Jesus alone can do and does for those believing on him, save his people from their sins, the last thing a physical danger, whether real or false, will do is close the doors of meeting houses. It will keep them open. Because we have the answer. And his name is Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. Lord, have mercy on your churches that have displayed more fear than faith in the face of something that you alone can heal us and save us from. The fear of death and the judgment that follows it. Let us pray that the Lord gives his gospel back to his church. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for what your word shows us of your Son. And as we feel our own mortality, sometimes in greater ways than we've ever felt it before, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. The only one capable of saving us from the reason we have to wear out and rust out and die. We came into this world conceived in sin. We live in sin and we will die in sin unless we confess Christ Jesus as the only mediator between ourselves and you. So please give this wonderful message back to a world that is filled with frightened people. May we be a people that are not afraid because we know the Savior of sinners. I ask in his wonderful name, amen.